So, the book, anyone interested in buying the book, will be there at the back. So, please go and get it if you are interested. But next week, we will meet, I'm not sure what her name is, but she is going to come and speak here. Okay. The lady, not the one of the one of them, Lauren. Okay, Lauren. She's going to speak here next week, and I'm excited to meet her because I don't know her. I think she did something cool. So this evening, I hope you guys are excited, because something is starting this week. And can anyone remind me of what's starting this week? Okay, Connect Groups. Yo, you guys are really amped. Like, no one's going to go to Connect Groups this week. No one's excited. Okay, I need to speak like this because I forget to bring it to my mouth. So I want to welcome you to church this morning, this evening. And I truly, this past 2 weeks, God has placed something in my heart regarding Connect Group starting. Now, for those of you who haven't been at our church for a while, and for those of you who are new, I want to welcome you to church this evening. And I just want to quickly explain how Connect Group is going to work. So there's someone, all those names that you read out, they are hosts. And they are hosting a Connect Group. So why we decided to do Connect Groups is to take away the responsibility in actually preparing for cell. So it's just a replacement for that. But people get, or like their lives are so busy, and then they forgot to actually prepare. But now God is giving us vision to bring the whole church like back to the same road. So everyone in the church, everyone is joining a Connect Group somewhere, and it's going to be a DVD, and we're going to chat regarding the DVD. There will be questions and everything, but it's something new that's starting. So some of the sermons will go like about the Who Am I series that we are starting, and I think my sermon will start to prompt something in everyone's heart. But throughout this next 6 weeks, we can be excited for God to move within our church, but especially within each of our lives. If you are not excited yet, I hope after the sermon you will be excited about something. And so, Who Am I series is starting today, and I hope I just come and bring a little bit of a foundation. So my word this evening is called To Know God, and I'm really excited about this sermon because God has worked within my own heart regarding this, and I don't think I can actually share anything if God hasn't worked in my own life regarding something, then it would just be words. So, before I get going, let me just pray and ask the Lord to open up our hearts. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this evening, Father, and the opportunity that we have, Father, just to fill this house, Father, with praise and with worship, Father, and just thanksgiving of who you are. And Lord Jesus, may you just come and work within our hearts. And Holy Spirit, I just pray, may you come and just sit right next to us. Sit next to us and speak with us and open our ears to what you want us to hear. Holy Spirit, I just pray, may you come and help myself, that I won't give of myself, Lord, but that the truth of God will just be reflected from my life and from my words. Lord, may you come and be excited about every person this evening, and as we just walk through the scripture tonight, Lord, may you just come and work within our hearts. Amen. So, to know God, who am I? Totally on the different side of the river. But I want to start with myself. When I was still at school, I'm 24 years old. I turned 24 this week. So, I'm aging, and I got married. Been married for 4 months now, so really, really excited just to have a wife. Anyways, when I was still at school, I had a desire to go abroad. And I think all of us still have that desire, or had the desire. But I think we all want to go overseas, experience the world, see the world, experience people. But I think I wanted to go over there, and I wanted to experience church. I wanted to see how church functions within society, and how people just relate within church, and how church is being done over there. But I think of during these past 2 weeks while I was preparing for my sermon, I think God revealed actually to me that I had a desire to go over there and actually find myself, because I wasn't really sure who I am. But God had a different plan for me. I didn't go overseas. I was born in Ficksburg, in the West Vrystaat, and I moved to Bloemfontein, to the Vrystaat. So I've been here my whole life, and I haven't been anywhere. I've been in South Africa, but that's pretty much that. And I've been in Lesotho, so my passport has a stamp for Lesotho. I've never been anywhere exotic. So God had another plan for my life, and He led me into a different direction than I thought. But God revealed something interesting to me during this whole process, since I had a desire. Obviously, you are blind while you're doing everything, so only later on you start to get perspective. And these past 2 weeks, I got perspective, and God showed me what He actually took me through. So this evening, I really want the scriptures to speak for themselves. I could use my words, and I can manipulate just getting it across, and we would be able to respond in a good way, but that would only be from myself. So I hope that the scriptures that I'm going to read, we will all know them, 10 to 1, we will know them. But I hope that the Holy Spirit will work in your hearts and change your perspective of scripture. So I want to start. So get out your Bible and your pens, because we're going to run through scripture, write them down, and over these next 6 weeks, I promise you, there will be thoughts that's coming up in your mind, and we will have to deal with things. But Jeremiah 9, verse 23 to 24, I will go there myself. And this is a scripture that we all know really, really, really well. And we've seen them in Kiddush Church when we were small. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And I think when we grew up, we have seen this scripture before. We've seen this scripture, and you just know, okay, it's cool. I shouldn't boast in my own aspects of my life, my riches, my wisdom, or my strength, but I should boast in God alone. But something that I realized only a while after the scripture has been revealed to me, not the Greek word, but when this scripture opened my eyes, I saw the last four words was so significant. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Eight words, I'm sorry. In these things I delight, declares the Lord. So He doesn't delight Himself with us boasting in ourselves, but He delights in the middle part. The middle part says, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love. So God has a desire for each of us to understand and know Him. Not to boast in our own strength, wisdom, or riches, but to boast in Him alone. And that is to know and understand Him. So this scripture and this thought I want to use as a foundation for the rest of my sermon. So we can obviously see the desire. So I'm just putting a small little label on there so it's easier for us to remember. But God has a desire for us to boast in Him and Him alone. But if we go to Psalm 53 verse 2, you can write that down. Psalm 53 verse 2. God of heaven is looking down on us and searching our hearts to see if there are any who understand Him and seek Him. God of heaven is looking down at us, seeking us to see if there are any who understand Him and who knows Him. And you are seeking Him. So God is sitting there, actually looking down on us. And He's waiting to, I'm anxiously waiting for you to move. To climb into like a boat and say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to seek you. I want to understand you. But this is not for us. This is just for us to understand that God has that desire. He has a desire to see that we, I'm going to repeat this over and over and over again. He has a desire to see that we are seeking him, trying to understand him, trying to know him. And through the Holy Spirit, there's a scripture that says, reveal to us your ways. Reveal to me your heart. Reveal to me your ways. And he will reveal himself to us. But keep this as the foundation where we are going to go forward now. My next point is the choice. Now, God has a desire. It doesn't matter where we are. But we grew up in a country where religion was it was proclaimed often. So either you grew up in a home where faith or Christianity was declared, or either you were in a school where teachers prayed, or there was someone just speaking about Christ. So we know about Christianity, we know about faith, we know about a lot of religiousness. But we have a choice. So if we go to Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. Matthew 7, okay, but it is on the board, so. Okay, Matthew 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against it. And it fell, and great was its fall. Once again, a scripture that we know. Once again, a scripture that I think we all have heard about, and that we should build our house on the rock. But where I want to get at is the start of this verse. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. So, now it's actually a bit confusing, because if you just reflect on the previous scripture, we shouldn't boast in our wisdom. But this isn't boasting in our wisdom, but it's actually boasting in God, because we are building our house on the rock. Not on our own wisdom, because definitely if it was our own wisdom, we would have been foolish and we would build our house on the sand. So Jesus is saying this to help our thoughts to process that if we are truly wise, we actually start to make a choice. There's a fork in the road, and we have a choice to either build on the sand or build on the rock. Use our own wisdom, or just trust in God and boast in Him and build in the right direction. And then, now we're on this road, and we've made a choice. Either it's to the one side or the other. But as we walk into this, life gets tough. And we are challenged and we are being tempted. But now we need to start to make it. Oh, we made our choice. But now we walk in this and we are confronted with problems coming our way. So either we want to turn around or we commit into this. So my next scripture is Philippians 3, verse 7 to 8. I will also go there. Philippians 3. Now let me just read it here at the top. Philippians 3, verse 7 to 8. But whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. Now Paul is writing to the church of Philippians. And he's prompting on them, and he's actually telling them, but I have suffered all things. I've lost everything so that I may gain Christ. But if you read the middle scripture, indeed I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. Of knowing Christ Jesus, that's God's desire once again. Just revealed to us that God has a desire for us to know Him. So Paul is saying that everything that I have, my riches, my wisdom, my strength, I count all of that as loss just so that I may gain Christ, just that I may know Him, just that I may understand Him and relate to Him and seek Him even more. So our commitment is that we would count all of these things, all of these earthly things, our wisdom, our riches, our strength, we will count it as loss, and we commit into the relationship, the choice that we have already made, we commit into this. There's another scripture in Matthew 13, verse 44. I didn't put it up there. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Just coming to a place within our hearts that we find Christ Jesus. We find God, and we will sell everything. We will leave everything behind just so that we may gain Him. Just that we may commit into Him. And that we know if we buy this field, the kingdom of God, we are satisfied within our hearts to follow Him, and we are committed into Him. But now we commit into this relationship, and we go through the trials, and then all of a sudden our lives start to change. And my next point is the change. In Ephesians 4 verse 21, this one I will read. Ephesians 4 verse 21. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, is corrupted through deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on then a new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul is writing this message to them, and actually saying, assuming that you guys have heard of the gospel, I think all of us will fall in that category. Assuming that we have heard about Jesus, we've heard about God, put off then your old self. Change your old ways. The ways that will actually be, if we would have made a right-hand turn, where we had a choice to actually follow Him or not. Change your former ways, but put on a new self. And our lives start to change, because we are exposed to the ways of Christ Jesus. We are exposed to knowing God, because we can look back and know that God has a desire for us, but I'm making a choice and I'm starting to commit to my choice. And now all of a sudden my life will start to change. I will be patient in a time where I shouldn't be patient, or where I would normally not be patient. So within our character, and I believe that in this process, it's the only place where even our character, our personality can start to change, because God is changing it. Not because of myself. Because all of a sudden, we aren't making an attempt. We aren't making an attempt after we made a choice and we are committing to this choice. We aren't really making an attempt to change our own lives. Because if you attempt, you're just like, I want to be patient. And then the next thing is a guy not driving well. And you, I'm that guy. Just tooting for someone who's not driving well. But we can't be patient out of our own. Out of our own being, we can't be patient. But through Christ Jesus, He's changing our lives. And we can be patient above all things. And our lives can change ultimately. But now our lives start to change, and we start to gain something. In Matthew 16, verse 24. So Jesus is talking to the disciples. Then Jesus told His disciples, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. So the first thing is that we start to gain Christ, as Paul said in the previous verses in Ephesians. Count all things as loss, but we start to gain Christ Jesus. But now this scripture says that if we want to save our own lives, we will lose it. If we want to save our own lives, if we want to boast in our own riches, our own wisdom, our own strength, we will lose it. But if we are willingly laying down our lives for His name's sake, then we will find it. And then all of a sudden we get to a place like, okay, I think I start to know who I am. I went through that process where God is actually telling me to deny myself, to lay down my own life, take up my cross, and follow Him. And through that, I gain my own life. I gain perspective of my own life. And I can look back and I can see, wow, God has a desire for me to know Him even more. God has a desire for me to look at Him and, oh, Lord, I want to understand You. I want to see You. But all of that, all of these things aren't possible if we move from our own place. If we start to make decisions out of our own wisdom and out of our own riches and out of our own strength, it's not possible for us to make these choices. The band can come up. I don't want to keep everyone long. I know everyone is really excited to just chat afterwards. But my final scripture is something that I need to explain. And after my sermon, we are free to just worship and sing the Lord. Sing to the Lord. But this last scripture, I need you to put on your thinking caps. Because it's a difficult concept to grasp. So 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. So let's go there. Because I need you to see it with your eyes. And I don't have it on there because I want you to see it. Okay. So, write down in your Bible or in your booklets. Go and read the whole of 2 Corinthians 3. It gives perspective of what I'm going to speak about. So, back in the day when Moses received the law of the Israelites, on top of a mountain. So Moses was on top of a mountain. He spent time with God, and he was up there for hours. And God gave him the law. And the law is called the law of Moses. Okay, so that's pretty easy. Now, while Moses was up there, he spent hours with him. And when Moses came down, his face was shining. Now imagine that. You are an Israelite, and you are trusting this man with your life. He's going up to the mountain. He's spending time with God. God is basically giving him rules. So how the law of Moses works is, do this, do this, do this, do this. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. If you do that, then this will happen. So there was a cycle that started to happen within the Israelites that they couldn't even keep to the law. They would stay faithful towards the law of Moses, and they will follow it faithfully, but eventually they will step out of line. And something that often happened is they started to follow other gods. And then God sent them into exile. So there were repercussions for every choice that they made, every wrong foot that they actually sit down. There were repercussions for that. Okay, but back to Moses. Understanding the picture, Moses is up on the mountain. He came down and his face was shining. And the Israelites could barely look at him. So, like, it's like the sun coming out of his face. So Moses decided he's going to put a veil over his face, so that the Israelites would be able to look at him. Which is understandable. So now we get to the scripture. Now Paul is writing something really, really interesting. Go and read the whole of verse 3. But we will start at verse 12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted. So I want to stop there. So now what happened is, Jesus came. So all the Israelites knew that we are going into this direction. We are following the law that God gave to Moses. We are following the law of Moses. We are walking into this direction. And all of a sudden, Jesus came. And now there's confusion. Because this man is also from God. Fork in the road. Now we have a choice. We come to a place where there is a choice. And now it's like, but the law actually tells me to go into this direction. But now Jesus came and everything is different. It's different to what we think is right. So even though the law is from God, it is actually putting us on the wrong path. We are actually then building our house on the sand, but now Jesus came and then there's a deviation. And we have a choice to make to build our house on the rock. But let's continue. Because only through Christ it is taken away. So only through Christ Jesus, the veil that Moses had over his face, only through Christ Jesus, that veil can be lifted. Only through Christ Jesus, there's a fork in the road. Only through Christ Jesus, we can make a choice to follow after Him. Yes, to this day, in verse 15, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. So till this day, when someone reads from that, when someone walks in religiousness, there's a veil over their eyes. So we come to a place where, is the veil over our eyes? Are we walking in a place of religion? We think we are on the right path, but I'm not sure. Did we truly make a choice to follow Him? Let's continue. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed, as I explained. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. So, let's start from the front. There's a veil over our faces. We are on this road that we think is right. Jesus comes into our lives and we get exposed to that, a deviation. We have a choice to either follow after Him or follow the way that we know. Only through Jesus do we have a choice. And we start to walk on that road. Only through Jesus are we even able to commit to that choice. And we keep on walking. And then only through Jesus our lives start to change, because I cannot boast in my own wisdom, in my own strength. So now our lives start to change when we start to follow Christ. And then all of a sudden, we have a gain. And the gain is, we actually gain Christ Jesus. But in effect, we gain our own lives, not because of our own wisdom, our own strength, or our own riches, but because of Christ Jesus. And that is the result. That is a result that comes knocking at our door when we come to a place where we actually decide, I'm following Christ. So when I was 15 years old, and we had a home cell in Res at school, and that night it was a bunch of the English guys, and I was an Afrikaans boerkie. And I started to make friends with them, and they invited me to come to their home cell. And they started singing songs, which I knew, because I grew up in a religious home. And I knew the songs, and so I could sing with. But something in that night happened within my heart, and I know for sure God came to save my life. That night, God changed the direction which I thought I was going on. So I thought I was going on the right path, and then all of a sudden there was a deviation and my life started to change. But it was only a choice, and I committed to my choice. And only like 6 years later, when I was in my first year, I realized that that day God gave me perspective. God actually saved my life. But I wasn't ready to commit to him yet. So, 6 years later, I came to a place where I'm like, I'm ready to deny myself. I'm ready to not boast in my own strength, wisdom, or riches, but I'm ready to lay down my life so that I may truly gain Christ Jesus. And I do not know where any of you are at. Maybe you don't even know that God has a desire to see you, seek Him, and understand Him and know Him. Maybe you haven't even made a choice, but the choice is in front of you. Unfortunately, after tonight, the choice is there. Maybe you are at a place where your commitment is lacking, not towards the church, but towards Him. Maybe you are at a stage where your life is starting to change and you are confused, or you want the gain of Christ. You want to understand who you are, your purposes and your perspectives and the calling that God has on your life. Maybe it's just ready to remove the veil from our faces and walk in that. Being able to, allowing God to transform our lives, standing there. Just reflecting the glory of God. Not because of my own life, not because of my own riches, my wisdom, my strength, but because of God alone. Because now I can look back, I can look up at Him, and I can say, God, I know that You have a desire to see my life being changed. You have a desire for my life to be laid down. And through that whole process, I come to a place of understanding and knowing You, because I'm seeking You with all of my heart. Tonight, I don't want to ask you to raise your hand and follow my prayer as I lead you into salvation. But I don't know where you are at. But we are going to sing songs again. And I want you to respond out of that place. Not respond in front of everyone. Respond from your own heart as we sing. As we sing, just allow your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to come and work within your heart. And if you are willing to come to the front and receive prayer, I will be here. And someone else will definitely come out of the seats to come and pray with you. So this evening, the space here in the front is really, if you feel like you need encouragement, you need hope once again, come to the front and we will pray for you. But let's respond out of a place that God has a desire that we should know Him and that we should understand Him. And even if it's just for tonight, close your eyes. Imagine Him sitting there having an expectation to see you, seeking Him, understanding Him, and knowing Him.